Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Average Joe's Podcast.
We could play dodgeball.
The official podcast of the NCAA.
You want to know what's sad? Six grown men playing dodgeball.
From previewing games to talking about the issues, we've got you covered.
Like with those freaks over there in Loser Town, huh?
Now for the stars of our show, here's your hosts, Zach Newton and Alex Heichelbeck.
Hello, everybody. I am Zach Newton.
And I am Alex Heichelbeck.
And this is the Average Joe's Podcast, coming to you live from Josh Raymer's fantastic kitchen here in Bowling Green, Kentucky. We're kicking off a new format of the show here. We got some new logos. We got some awesome voiceover that you just heard. Pretty sweet microphone. It's a little tiny blue ball. Wink, wink, hint, hint, nudge, nudge.
In addition to that, we're going to be having, as you mentioned earlier, we've got some new shirts that you can check out pictures of. There's going to be an upcoming Facebook group, and there are, in addition to this, there's also some changes being made to the forums.
Yeah, lots of good stuff going on in college dodgeball land. We want to give a quick shout-out to Lee Uber, the Ubster.
Yeah, don't know if anyone was listening at the beginning of the podcast there, but you'll notice that was no normal introduction.
Just going to throw this out there. If you weren't listening at the beginning, you probably missed something that's going to show up later. Because this is one of those podcasts where we start at the end and then cut to the middle. That's a plot development joke.
Oh, man. Sorry. Anyways, yes, big shout out to Lee Uber for doing the intro and also the outro for us. Excellent job. Really adds a lot to the podcast, I think.
Indeed. So Alex, why don't you tell the folks at home a little about yourself?
Well, I'm currently a senior at Western, been on the dodgeball team for, I guess, a year and a half now, even though I was only, I've been redshirted for the past year. Took a trip to Japan, did some studying over there, just branching things out. So now I'm back to it, looking forward to a new season, looking forward to the new podcast, and it's all good. How about yourself?
Well, I got pretty much pulled into this whole podcast deal at gunpoint. Raymer had me announcing a dodgeball game, the big giant head over here to our right. You can't see him at home because he's that cool. But he's here. He's the producer for the operation. He drafted me into announcing a dodgeball game, and apparently he thought I was so funny. He decided to keep me around for the podcast. So hopefully we can keep it light, keep it interesting, keep it dodgeball.
That's our plan. So quick overview of what we've got going today. We're going to be going over some of the teams this year, returning teams, some new teams, and unfortunately some teams no longer with the league.
Indeed. We're going to be covering the great state of Michigan, the land of a lot of lakes and former automobile companies. You know, all kinds of good stuff happening in Michigan and dodgeball.
We're also going to be talking about what I believe we've termed the Western expansion of dodgeball.
It's like pioneer times, but with big rubber balls.
It is indeed. We're moving out of the breadbasket and off towards the West Coast, and we're going to be doing some quick coverage of that, and discussing what the expansion of dodgeball could mean for the league and, for the sport in general.
And we've got a phone interview with the captain of Michigan State University's team and longtime listener Ian Childs. We're going to get his opinion on a few matters. I'm excited. I'm as giddy as a schoolgirl.
As am I.
All right,
let's get into it.
Let's move right on. This is Average Joe's Podcast.
And now your game time preview.
Well, at least that wasn't weird.
Well, we're back on Average Joe's.
We are indeed. Normally, this is the portion of the show where we'd be previewing the last week's or the upcoming week's games.
But it's the preseason, folks, so there's not games anywhere in sight.
There are not any games in this portion of the preseason. So instead, what we're going to be doing for your listening pleasure is previewing some of the teams for the upcoming season, focusing especially on those in the breadbasket, the dodgeball motherland.
The state of Michigan.
Exactly. We'll also be going over a couple of the newer teams, some teams that unfortunately would be leaving the league, and a general little wrap-up of what's going on in the team world.
I'm ecstatic.
Well, your excitement is leaking over to this side of the table because I'm excited too. Coming up first, the team that everyone obviously knows about, Grand Valley. If you know anything about dodgeball, you know about Grand Valley. They're the defending champions. They've been the champions for, I don't know, as long as I've been around.
three straight years we're getting from the big giant head.
Indeed we are. They're on a winning streak, some might say. I would call 3 years a winning streak.
I would call not giving up a point over the last two seasons quite a streak.
That is indeed. I've actually heard rumors, and this may be rumors, it might not be, that they're the attendance for Grand Valley's dodgeball games is surpassed only by the attendance for their football games.
You know, that is an astounding figure.
Well, I don't know if that's correct. It might just be hearsay.
But this, however, could be an interesting year for Grand Valley. Based on the you know, what we get down the pipeline here in Kentucky, it's a slow moving pipeline. But we've heard they could be losing several key seniors, including their captain. Mm-hmm. We're not positive, and we'd really like to like a phone call or a face chat maybe to get this information cleared up.
That would be nice. And anyone that keeps up with the standings might also notice in the past couple years, Grand Valley, and I guess who you could say is their primary competition, Saginaw Valley has been slowly closing the gap. The point gap catching up to him there. So with them losing some seniors, this might finally be the year that Saginaw Valley beats Grand Valley.
You know, I mean, it's like Iceland and Mighty Ducks D2. You know, if they didn't have Gunnar Stahl, you know, where would they be? You know, Charlie Conway and all his boys at Saginaw Valley, they're making a hard charge. You know, this really could be the year that the dynasty comes crumbling down.
So you're saying this could be Saginaw Valley's flying V?
Indeed. You know, the knuckle puck, the gorilla grip, whatever you want to call it, you know, Saginaw Valley's got it, and they're coming.
It is indeed. So, as we said earlier, their win over OSU at Nationals solidified them into second place and closed that gap for Grand Valley. They didn't lose any players off this year's team. They had a strong team last year. So I've said it once, I'll say it again. Could this be the year that Saginaw Valley beats Grand Valley?
You know, I mean, I feel like Saginaw Valley could slip in there like a green bean in a bag of carrots. they could just run right in and take it right out from under everybody. I mean, this, you know, their team, like I said, they didn't lose any players. That's a big in any sport. You know, mm-hmm. Football, basketball, baseball, any major sport, you know, you've got to keep, you know, a core group of players around. And if Saginaw Valley's doing that, and Grand Valley, you know, as we said, we don't know for sure, they're losing a couple of guys that have been big in past years. This could be the year that Saginaw Valley finally pulls off the upset.
Well, it will be an exciting season, yes. The next team is Michigan State's team, who I've had the pleasure of playing against. Was very impressed by their team, and they had a very solid showing at Nationals. Mike Young's and Ian Childs, in my opinion, with the exception of one Jazzy Josh Raymer, could possibly be some of the best captains in the league.
You know, I haven't seen the kids play live, but in some video that I've seen, some film that I watch, you know, I'm religious in my film watching before we do these podcasts. You know, you don't find a group of kids this fundamentally sound that often. You know, they're not flashy. Mm-hmm. You know, it may not be, you know, the most exciting dodgeball. Alex Bomas, the godfather of college dodgeball, started out the MSU team. I mean, you know, they're a team with tradition.
They are. And, you know, it's not always about being, you know, the best team in the league as far as games go. I mean, I know from what little bit I did get to talk to Mike Youngs and Ian Childs, they have a very good attitude about it. They have a very good way of encouraging their players. So, while according to the standings, not one of the, you know, the best teams in the league, not the best team in the league, they're definitely one of my favorites.
I think they're a team that with a couple of more key players, you know, some good rock and arm type fellas, you know, they could really cause some hell for the other Michigan teams, you know, your Saginaws and your Grand Valleys.
All right, well, what do you got for Central Michigan?
You know, they were a Final Four team at Nationals, and they surprised a lot of people. But I think they're overlooked because you got Grand Valley and Saginaw Valley, and you know they're just one of those teams that they've kind of started to build a little bit of a following, but they've got to keep working it. They got to keep building. They could really benefit by adding Valley to the end of their name.
That's the point I was going to make. It seems to me like the key to winning here is to having the word Valley at the end of your school's name.
And being in Michigan and having Valley at the end of your name could be the steroids of dodgeball.
It might be the key.
This could be the Valley era, you know.
So overall, just based on what we've seen for Central Michigan, very talented players. They obviously have a very good grasp of the fundamentals, and they really displayed those early on last season. It didn't really seem to take them a long time to get the dodgeball rolling, as it were.
Well, I think that you got to put a lot of that on their captain, Miles Potter. You know, he's a really great leader, really effective guy, and I think he gets in there, he teaches the kids well, you know, and he just gives them the no relation to Harry Potter, mind you,
obviously.
Or the wizard Josh Wiseman, for that matter. But worth noting that you know, they got out there early, as you said, you know, and had a good grasp of the fundamentals. And I think that's important that you can build, you can start, you know, your foundation that quick.
Okay, another honorable mention we have, possibly what might be considered, you know, the wild horse team this year is Delta. They've obviously had a little bit of trouble getting their act together, but they did have a win over Saginaw Valley last season.
You know, they're one of those teams, they're kind of like a Wigan Athletic in the Barclays Premier League in European soccer. You know, every once in a while they'll do something ridiculous. Or like Burnley beating Manchester United. You've never heard of Burnley because you're from America.
Yeah, but everyone's heard of Manchester United.
Exactly. And, you know, this team, Delta, came out of nowhere last year and beat Saginaw Valley, and now, you know, they're on the verge of maybe even not fielding a team this year.
Who knows? Well, this is the part of the show that I personally don't like. This is where we might possibly be laying a team to rest. And no one likes this, but it happens. Henry Ford last year suffered, what would you call it?
I don't think massacre is a violent enough word.
I don't. A 16-0 loss against Saginaw Valley. And you know, a loss like that, well, especially against a team like Saginaw Valley, you wouldn't think, like, you know, oh, it's just, you know, you're going to come back to it. But, I mean, it's a pretty crushing thing for your team when you can't score a point in the, you know, the whole game.
You know, I mean, they kind of, I mean, that was a very Detroit Lions effort. You know, I mean, you go out there. I mean, I don't feel like that if you get beat 16-0 that you were even playing dodgeball. Mm-hmm. I feel like you may have came for a wiffle ball game. And unfortunately, somebody put it to you.
Yeah, understood.
But for what it's worth, you know, it was Saginaw Valley.
It was.
I mean, they are.
But like I said, regardless of who the loss is against, it's always crushing, even against a team that you're on the same level as, especially in a game like this where you get to, you know, be such good friends with everyone on your team. And because of how spaced out the games are, it really gets hard to tell how your team stacks up against someone else. So from practice, you might feel like you've got everything down pat. And then when you have a team show up and just
mop
completely demolish you, which, I mean, it's happened to everybody. I can't think of a single team that hasn't had a crushing defeat at some point. I mean, that one, the Henry Ford one, that was like that blimp, the Hindenburg, just,
you know, yeah, I mean, it seems like the dodgeball, see, like you said, the games are really spaced out. It seems like it moves along at almost like a Zeppelin sort of pace.
It does.
Just barely covering any ground, and then eventually, you know, you finally get to the point where you know, it all comes together for nationals, and you're playing teams that you've never seen before, that you've never even heard of.
Mm-hmm. And so while we're talking about Henry Ford, the two guys that started the team at Henry Ford were Chris Wright and Daniel Bartram, and they're currently working getting a team started at East Michigan.
East Michigan. Their mascot, I feel like maybe the Mustang. I'm not sure. If the big giant head could check on that for us,
we'll figure that out. But best of luck to them. And anyone that's ever tried before knows how complicated it is to get people involved in a college dodgeball league. I think reactions range anywhere from people thinking it's some kind of practical joke towards, you know, I know when I saw the flyer for the one for the team at Western, I thought that it was some kind of sick prank, and when I called the number on it, I'd be getting some kind of verbal harassment. So
I mean, what's final thoughts on Michigan dodgeball? I mean,
I'd have to sum it up. You know, it's the breadbasket. The biggest part of the league, at least for this area, started out there. They've traditionally had the strongest teams. I don't know what they're putting in the water, what they're putting in the feed out there, but it's working.
I think that Michigan is where, you know, like you said, it's the breadbasket. It's the womb of dodgeball. You know, it's where the whole thing was born, and it's where it's all spread out from. I mean, we see, you know, we're going to talk about teams out west in a minute. You know, but everything's kind of fanned out from Michigan, which kind of leads, I guess, to the whole dominance of that state in the game. I mean, you know, you got the top two teams are both Michigan schools, and I think that I don't know how long that trend of dominance will continue. Well, you know. But I think that for the time being, at least, Michigan's going to be the home of your college dodgeball champion.
Indeed. Well, it looks like from the teams that we have this year, we could have an interesting run for the win at the Nationals. And who knows, we might have any number of dark horse teams come out of the woodwork and do something impressive. So to everyone out there that's getting a team together or has a team together, let's do some work. Let's get it going.
Let's make Michigan proud.
Exactly.
Now it's time to reach out to our listeners.
Line up, ladies!
Hey, Ian, how's it going?
Hey, it's going really well. How are you doing?
Oh, we're good. Everybody, we're on the line with Ian Childs, the captain of Michigan State University's team.
And longtime listener of the podcast.
Well, that's the best kind of listener.
It is the best kind
long-time
of listener.
Longtime listener.
Yes. First-time caller.
That's actually the first thing we wanted to talk to you about was your loyal listening habits. What is it exactly that makes you such a loyal listener of the podcast?
You know, I'm not sure. It's the first time I ever went out to the website. I saw that you guys had a podcast going, and I kind of started listening into it while I was writing a paper, and that's just what I started doing ever since then. Every time I write a paper, I just listen into the podcast.
Well, let me just tell you, Ian, that we're going to make it a lot harder for you to focus on those papers this year.
We are indeed. We've definitely bumped up the enthusiasm.
That's usually the problem. That's the problem is I'll be listening, and I'll stop writing the paper.
So, Ian, you sound like you're in a kind of crowded location. What are you up to today?
I am. I completely forgot about the interview today because I'm out of pain. And I'm actually in line. Well, I'm away from the line right now, but I'm waiting for a concert, and it starts in like an hour and a half or so.
Oh, what excellent. What concert is it?
We're getting ready to see Blink-182.
Oh, so you blew us off for three old dudes who played a punk band. All right.
Yeah.
I can dig it.
Understand.
Yeah, we're in the car. We're in the car on the way down here, and I go, oh, geez, I need to text them.
Yes, you should have seen it. Josh Raymer's gigantic head was red as a beet. It was a good one.
He actually looked like a regulation NCAA dodgeball. It was as if he was doing an impression.
Yeah.
Well, that gets us back onto the dodgeball track. We wanted to talk to you a little bit about your experience at Nationals last year. Just kind of how you thought it went, what you thought about it.
Oh, man, I thought the Grand Valley did a spectacular job. It was, I mean, my first Nationals was at Ohio State the year before that, which was really fun. Ohio State did a good job. They were pretty hospitable. But Grand Valley just, you know, everything they do for dodgeball is a way of life out there. So they just went above and beyond for us, I felt like. I don't know, it was just great. I loved it. And, like, they had professional photographers going around taking pictures. They've got water free for all the teams. They've got food coming out. They're really organized, I feel like. Especially with some of the issues that came up, teams not showing and stuff. I just thought they did a really nice job.
Well, segueing that, what do you think Nationals are going to be like taking the big stage in the Windy City in Chicago?
Chicago, home of the Cubs and Bears.
Is it for sure going to be at DePaul this year? I hadn't heard.
It will indeed be, yes.
It will be. That's awesome. I love the guys at DePaul, so I'm really hoping it's just as much fun. You know, they're like the most fun team to play against, so I'm pretty sure they'll do a great job too. So I'm excited for DePaul to host.
Oh, we here at Average Joe's are equally ecstatic.
We are.
Yeah.
So in addition to Nationals, how are you feeling about your team's chances for Nationals this year?
You know, I feel really good about our chances. Last year, you know, all the pieces of the puzzle weren't quite there for us. We had a lot of guys that would always practice with us, but they were never free to travel. You know, things like that would come up. But we have a really good core of players, and you know, all it's going to take is, like, solid recruiting this year right before school, and we should be okay. As long as I can get everybody on the same page working together, I think, you know, we're a team that can go toe-to-toe with just about anybody in the league.
That was something that I thought that you guys did really well, is you were really on the same page. You got a really polished kind of sense of the fundamentals. Can you tell us a little bit about, you know, what practices are like, you know, how you get everybody on that same page?
Well, I mean, practices, we usually just have one big practice. We'll just split everybody off, you know, two separate teams, and we really try to get everybody working together. We have we actually started implementing call signals that we would start using last year, just, you know, certain stuff you say on the court to get everybody's attention so everybody's on the same page, they all know what's going on. You know, obviously everyone's calling out cross courts, but it goes a little beyond that. You know, we've got certain numbers we'll call out when we're trying to do certain things, and, like, you know, just make sure everybody's paying attention and covering each other. And it seemed to work pretty well. Like, I know it served us pretty well at Nationals. We hung in against Ohio State really well by using our signals. And if we didn't have those, it would have been a completely different story. So that's the biggest thing with our practice.
Obviously, some of that's, you can attest some of that to the skill of yourself, the captain. How exactly did you become captain of the team there?
Well, this upcoming season will be my first year as captain. It'll be my third year playing, and our head captain just graduated, so we held team elections, and apparently the rest of our team felt like I was qualified enough, and I'm pretty happy that they feel that way about me. You know, that's that's a big compliment coming from the rest of your team. So, you know, we held a vote, and our board emailed me later that night and said, you know, congratulations, you're a new captain next year, blah, good luck, all that stuff. So, you know, I was pretty thrilled.
So speaking of some of that, we talked earlier about some of the history that your team has. The godfather of college dodgeball actually started your team, Alex Bomas. Is he still hanging around, or is he playing at all?
He is. He's the old man of the team. And it was really funny because we had a home game last year, and my parents came out to it. They bring my little brother with them, and he sees Bomas out on the court just throwing balls around. And my brother comes up to me and goes, "Whose dad is that?" Yeah, he goes, why is somebody's dad playing with you guys? And I go, no, that's not somebody's dad. He's just old.
So
and, you know, of course, we had to tell Bomas that he said that too, and Bomas just loved that.
So you're a competitive team in Michigan. What do you think about the whole Michigan dodgeball situation? I mean, you know, you guys are I would say, and I think it's fair to say, probably the third best team in Michigan. You know, how do you feel about the whole Grand Valley, Saginaw Valley? You know, how do you think that they're going to match up? How do you think you'll match up against them? And what about the emergence of Central Michigan?
The Michigan Trinity
is. You know, Grand Valley is a powerhouse every year, and it's like football in Texas. It's like dodgeball in Grand Rapids. It's I don't even know how that happened, but it's just a way of life for those guys. And, you know, they do it well, obviously. They go undefeated just about every year. I don't even think they had a single point scored on them at all last year. So Grand Valley's definitely got their stuff together. And, you know, Saginaw's starting to look like they're going the same way. I remember my first year on the team, and first time we ever played Saginaw, we beat them. And ever since then, we haven't beat them again. Like, it's always a decent game. But Saginaw just cleaned their stuff up, got everything together, and they really worked well as a unit. And, you know, it's kind of funny because it's like these teams are all following Grand Valley's example, and now Central, man, they came out of nowhere last year. I don't know how that happened because, man, the first time I ever played Central, it was just we couldn't even take it seriously, and that's not a knock on them. They didn't even have a fully staffed team the first time we played them, and now all of a sudden Central's just, you know, Final Four at Nationals. They're crazy. So I'm really happy for Central. I know a couple of the guys on their team, and they're really thrilled with the way they're going too.
Are there just any, like, you know, any more schools in Michigan, like the University of Michigan, you know, that you'd like to see start a team?
Well, we would love for them to start a team, and we email them just about every single year begging them to start a team, and they've got some sort of weird rule that they already have too many club sports, so they won't start a dodgeball team, but we would love to see U of M start one. And there's rumors of Western Michigan starting one, which would be a cool rivalry for Central, so that could be pretty sweet, but other than that, there's not a whole lot of schools around here. Eastern Michigan is supposedly starting one, too, so we'll see about that. But kind of all up in the air right now.
Well, it sounds like everything is all together in Michigan, but one of the topics that we're covering on this podcast is the Western expansion of dodgeball, where teams outside of, I guess, the breadbasket territory in places like Arizona teams are starting up there. What do you think of that kind of Western expansion of dodgeball?
You know, I think that would be really cool. I would love to see this league get as big as it possibly could. I know California is big on dodgeball. You go out to a lot of their websites, and they've got all sorts of leagues. And it's just a matter of, you know, getting the connections, talking to schools out there. The only problem that's really foreseeable that I see with that is travel, just because that is a long way to travel for stuff. But it would be really cool, I think, for schools out west to start their own teams and stuff. So,
well, you know, I mean, I think in response to the you know, because travel obviously for a club team at a university is going to be pricey, but you know, enough teams on the West Coast, you know, and then the development of more teams on the East Coast, and then you could almost start developing, you know, conferences.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And I believe, didn't Josh actually put that in his new packet that he gave us, I think, at the captain's meeting? That was one of the things he touched on with conferences, hopefully.
Yeah.
And I think that would be really cool. I would love to see that happen.
I think that's probably about it. You pretty much gave us any other hopes and goals for the league that you can think of, just anything in the next couple years. And with you being a captain now, it's definitely something you can influence. So is there anything that you'd like to see change, anything you could add?
Things that I would love to see change, I would love to see, you know, as you guys talked about earlier, I'd love to see a couple more you know, the bigger schools that are more recognizable join the league. You know, if we could get Penn State in, that would be really cool. Or Michigan, that would be really cool. And, you know, because big teams like that are going to attract other schools to the league, too, and it's just going to grow from there. And, it, you know, it's really nice to see smaller schools start stuff up, but at the same time, we see a lot of the smaller schools like Delta or Henry Ford, they'll start a team, but then the team crumbles after a few years after that first set of core players graduates. So I'm really hoping that we can get a lot of the bigger schools to join the league. And, you know, obviously for MS... Oops, sorry, go ahead.
No, you continue.
Oh, well, I mean, obviously my hopes for MSU, I'm hoping that by the time I'm out of here, that we get a national title, so we'll see how that goes.
Well, certainly an admirable goal, Ian.
It is indeed. And as the season progresses, we'll be sure to get back with you and find out how everything's going with your captaining experience and how you think the year's progressing.
All right. Sounds great. Thanks a lot, guys.
All right. Thank you very much.
Now focusing on a specific dodgeball issue.
You guys suck!
After termination is completed.
And the times they are...
We're back on Average Joe's.
We're back, and that was the Bob Dylan Power Hour.
Yeah, we just finished a hot 15-minute break of Bob Dylan.
We did indeed.
So here at Average Joe's, for those of you who are watching at home and can't already tell just by looking at us, we are action-packed with issues.
We are indeed, and it's actually time in this issue section for the hot-button topic, which is why I have the sweatband on, because things are going to get hot.
We're going to heat it up.
We are indeed. What is our topic for this issue section?
This whole episode is about westward expansion.
Like the Oregon Trail.
Yeah, but with a lot less dysentery and fording the river. Now, see, we've got a lot of schools out on the West Coast in the Rocky Mountain region that are talking about forming teams. There's also a shortage of oxen dying. So for all you PETA members listening, nothing to fear.
Oh, that brought me back to my childhood.
Man, I tried to, speaking of Oregon Trail, you know what? We're off topic, Big Giant Head. You're just going to have to get over it. Played Oregon Trail the other day for the first time in a solid 10 to 12 years. Yes. That game is still as hard as it was when I was a damn fourth grader. They have not made that game any easier.
I have to admit, I was one of the fourth graders who would just load up on 999 boxes of bullets and just kill food the whole time.
No.
And then we actually had that game taken out of our school because we kept putting our friends' names in. It would be like, so-and-so died of dysentery. We'd make a big deal out of it, and the teachers took it away. Back onto the topic. We're not discussing the Oregon Trail, but we are discussing a westward expansion of a sort. As everyone knows from what we've been covering so far, the breadbasket of dodgeball, the motherland, the womb, I believe you called it.
It was in
Michigan, in that general area, and it's kind of slowly trickled its way out of Michigan. But now we're seeing a lot more interesting college dodgeball in the western United States.
Yeah, it's interesting, too, because, you know, if you look at the spread of teams, starting in Michigan, coming down Chicago, Indiana, now you've got Kentucky, you know, it's like somebody just took a dart and threw it at the map and said, all right, Northern Colorado, you're going to have a dodgeball team. And as faithful as a Ford Taurus, they're apparently very seriously interested in starting a team.
They are indeed. I know just from perusing the old internets for a couple of minutes, you can see places like Tucson. There's a really nice team or a really nice website for Tucson Dodgeball. I know places in California have been big in dodgeball for a while. So it's going to be interesting when it starts making a shift to the college scene.
You know, I think, Tucson, obviously, the Phoenix area, you know, big on dodgeball, as we said. Arizona State looking at starting a team. We know California is big on dodgeball, the National Dodgeball League, the professional league teams. A lot of those are based on the West Coast. Chula Vista, California. Actually, I just pulled that out. There's not one there. San Diego, Los Angeles, I know a lot of teams. Chula Vista should have a team because that's a sweet name for a place.
It is indeed. I would like to say that I live in Chula Vista. It could be like the Chula Vista Flaming Golden Hawks.
I feel like you added too many adjectives to your mascot.
Well, I feel like any team, anywhere named Chula Vista has to have some kind of mythical creature. I think a Flaming Golden Hawk is perfect. And for the record, hawk is a noun. So I'm right where I need to be.
There you go. There you go with your English.
Yeah.
You know, I think if I was, you know, the team from Chula Vista, I would want to be the Flailing Manticores.
The Flailing Manticores.
Because who wants to mess with something that no one can describe that's flailing about? Not the big giant head.
The big giant head has given us an adamant no. He does not want to deal with a flailing manticore. So basically what we're going to start out talking about is like a five-year plan down the road, some might say. What could westward expansion do for college dodgeball besides expand it westward?
You know, the fearless leader, Josh Raymer at Western, proposed in his packet for the captain's meeting, his captain's packet, whatever, you know, there's a thousand words we could use to describe
there
it.
Are
All
indeed,
of them are
like
essentially
a,
meaningless.
The Ten Commandments of college dodgeball.
He talked about the idea of conferences.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, when you look at all the major college sports, you know, all the teams all across the nation are divided into conferences. Eventually, you know, we might have a Southeast Conference and a Midwest, and then like a Southwest, you know? I mean, all these different regions could kind of split off into conferences.
Because, like, for Nationals this year, I know, I believe Chicago is where we are, I believe 90-ish percent sure where Nationals are going to be, and it's good because it's more or less equidistant for most of the teams that are involved. Everyone from the northern area can get there, everyone from Kentucky and everywhere can get there pretty easily. But for somewhere like, you know, northern Colorado or Tucson, Arizona, them making it all the way out to Chicago for a tournament is a bit more troublesome.
Yeah, but I think that at the same time, you know, as you know, they pull as the expansion and the block of team, you know, expands westward, you know, when there's more than two or three teams out there, you know, it'll eventually turn into like an episode of All My Children where there's just all these incongruous people running around, and eventually, you know, Nationals will just kind of swing west a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And you might see places like Kansas City and you know, the cities in Texas. You know, a lot of your more Tornado Alley major cities hosting, you know, Nationals. I think that's just kind of a product of that whole westward expansion thing.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. The other thing, and this kind of I thought was interesting when we were discussing it earlier, is dodgeball starting in different areas in the country. What effect would that have maybe on styles of play? Or even potentially I could see rule changes as different areas kind of have their own way of playing.
You know, I think that'll be something that, I mean, there's no way that I could say Northern Colorado is going to play the most boring kind of dodgeball anyone could ever imagine. Because who knows? You know, Northern Colorado could be the Memphis Tigers of college dodgeball, and just run and gun relentlessly. You know, and you know, you can't make that kind of, you know, you can't make that whole, I don't even know what the big giant head is, lose 38 wins? Whatever. Anyway, Raymer's an idiot.
Yeah, the color commentary from the big head's going downhill very
the
quickly.
The point is, yeah, he's lost all coherence.
See, the point that I was kind of thinking, I don't know how much of a change this would make. I'm thinking, you know, different areas, there's different popular sports. You know, if you go to certain areas, maybe baseball's big. In other areas, football's big. And that definitely could influence how you play. If everyone on the team has a big background in baseball, that could definitely affect the way that everyone learns how to pitch and throw, the grippy throw and whatnot. Whereas maybe football would have a much more, maybe a more defensive approach.
I think that's something, you know, because when you look at the teams in California, you know, California is a huge college baseball state. You know, if some of these guys in the off season, you know, want to condition, keep their arms in shape by playing dodgeball, you know, you're going to see guys coming out of California that can throw a big rubber kickball 60, 70 miles an hour, maybe faster. I mean,
mm-hmm.
I haven't seen every team play, you know, and that's currently in the NCAA, but I can tell you that kind of speed is lost on a whole team. You know, you might have one guy that's got a cannon, but, you know, a team from California where baseball is that big of a sport, I mean, you could have guys that all throw 60 plus, and that's a feat.
It would be damaging. So you would definitely agree that sports popular in one area could affect the gameplay. So, just hypothetical situation, what about like a school maybe where curling was popular? What would you see that doing to the gameplay for the team?
Well, I think, you know, that's going to lead to a team where they're all about precision. You know, because curling is a precision sport.
Not to mention boring.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be slow, precise, you know, but you'll have guys on these curling teams. If a guy wants to hit you, you know, a little below the middle of your right shin, it's going.
It's going.
There's
there.
Nothing you can do about it.
I agree.
They will snipe you.
Mm-hmm.
They are not afraid. And I think that's something, you know, that's one of those things that's going to be really interesting.
And I know we'd mentioned this before, but I think that it might be worth bringing up again. The idea of conferences. I mean, do you think conferences would really be all that necessary? Do you think it would still just kind of work itself out? Because even right now, the stretch of teams goes from Northern Michigan, all the way down. I believe the southernmost team we have at the moment is in Louisiana. So, I mean, do you see conferences really making that big of a difference or being that necessary?
Well, I mean, I think that, you know, it's one of those situations where it just depends on how the sport expands. If you keep having these little sporadic pockets of expansion, like it starts in Michigan, and then you get some schools in the you know, in the auto belt, the Chicago area there, and then they kind of trickle down south, and then they kind of get a couple spots westward. Mm-hmm. I don't think that conferences in the next year, you know, I don't think next year we should start trying to institute a conference system. But I think in 5 years, 10 years, you know, if there are teams all over the nation, I think the conferences would be a really good idea. Because the thing about dodgeball that I've noticed is that the season is really inconsistent. Because you have, you know, a couple tournaments that you'll play in during the season. You might play a home game here, you know, travel there. But it's one of those situations where it's not that consistent. You know, you're not playing a game every week. And so I think that that is something that conferences would kind of help contribute to, is that over time, you know, if you have to play two games against every team in your conference, home or away, you know, you're going to be out a lot more traveling. And, you know, as a club team, that might not be feasible at first, but, you know, eventually you'll kind of work to it. But the point is that eventually I see a need for conferences, but right now I don't think that that's something we need to worry about.
It would just be a shame that with all the interest that's obviously showing up on the West Coast, if, you know, the league that we have now didn't capitalize on it.
Yeah.
I think everyone could agree that if the league were to stop where it is right now, it would stagnate pretty quick. And within 5 or 6 years, we might not have the interest level we have now without pulling in new teams and new talent.
I think the league really needs to jump on this interest, but I think they need to we need to be careful about how we do it. We don't want to, you know, say all these teams out West want to start, because, you know, and at first, you know, maybe an NCAA West, you know, and an NCAA East, where you have, you know, you have the nation almost split in half, and there's two leagues basically would be, you know, would be really helpful. Mm-hmm. You know, something where these teams don't have to travel week in and week out.
Gotcha.
So, Alex, if you could give any advice, since you're actually all on the Western Dodgeball team, you know, you've been involved with the program a little longer than I have. Is there any advice you'd give to the schools wishing to start teams?
I mean, I would say first and foremost, the number one thing is going to be, once you get something started, stick with it. Because I know you have a lot of people where they hear about it and they're like, oh, dodgeball, it sounds great. But they might think, you know, like, oh, no, that's goofy. Or, you know, it's never going to get taken seriously. So if at first you don't succeed, keep doing things to kind of raise interest. Like, I know at the University of Kentucky, was it yesterday? Or yesterday, they had, for part of their orientation, had a big kind of invite that was a campus-wide dodgeball game where everyone was invited. If they wanted to come play, they could. If they wanted to come watch, they could. And I believe they had like 1,000 people show up.
Yeah, I mean,
and from what we'd heard, they had 75 people sign up for their team. I know most of the teams that we've met at tournaments don't have that many players middle of the season. And they've just started, and they've got at least 75 people interested. If they could draw, you know, a quarter of them, they've got enough to definitely staff a team up. So,
you know, and I think that the interesting, we like to give a shout out to Raymer's mom, yeah, who's walking down the stairs.
How are you doing, Mrs. Raymer?
But she's there. She's like, Jesus. Anyway, so the way I see it is that with that UK situation that you brought up,
yes,
you know, I mean, if you just say, hey, let's get a bunch of people and play dodgeball, eventually, you know, if you're in a public area, you know, one of your, you know, the gym at your university, or, you know, on a lawn somewhere, even if you can find a lawn that's restrictive enough that you don't have balls flying into traffic and all that kind of mess, you know, I think that college dodgeball is a game that people at least want to see what it's about.
Because
that's the only reason I got hooked, is because I have fraternity brothers that are on the dodgeball team. And they were like, you know, Figs, man, we play dodgeball. And I'm like, you guys play dodgeball? Like, competitively? And they were like, yeah, dude, it's extreme. And I was like, all right, I'll check it out. And then, lo and behold, you know,
that's how I got onto our team. And I mean, this is it doesn't take near as much effort to do this, but I know I had gone to drive somewhere on campus and got to my car and saw a little flyer under my windshield. Some campuses may not allow that, so be sure you check on that first. A little flyer with just, you know, minimal information, the WQU dodgeball team, a contact number, some basic information. And I was like, well, you know, I'll give it a shot, and called, got a hold of Josh Raymer, and, you know, maybe a week or two later, I was at practice. So,
I mean, say what you want about Josh Raymer. The man, the man has a brilliant mind for recruiting. And I'm not just buttering him up because he gave me this job and he's giving me free waters all day and he's sitting right here where he could hit me if he needed to.
I was trying to work my way into dinner for later.
But that's something, yeah, I do want to raise actually because getting paid nothing isn't cutting it. But the point is that, you know, if you want to start a team, you know, I mean, Raymer's all over the website. You know, mm-hmm. just shoot him an email. That's, you know, or any one of the captains in your area, give him a phone call. Because, yeah. I mean, even in talking to Ian, you know, I mean, neither of us have ever, I've never met Ian. But, you know, I mean, all everybody involved with college dodgeballs, you know, they're all good people. You know, it's not like you got to call Joe Torre or something to get some advice. You know, I mean, Lou Piniella even. You know, I mean, you're going to find help anywhere you want it. I mean, you know, Ian said that they've been trying to encourage different teams in Michigan to start. You know, I mean, if you need any kind of help, you got to seek it out, but somebody will give it to you.
Yeah, and with how organized the group of captains are now, and I know every captain that I've ever met is incredibly nice, incredibly willing to give advice, always ready to help out in any way they can. So I'm sure everyone knows how to get a hold of Josh Raymer or any of the other captains. Just get a hold of them because they probably have a better idea how to do it than, you know, a player in a...
Just some dude in a Spider-Man t-shirt
doing a podcast. So definitely get a hold of them. It's not as hard as it sounds, and most universities have a program set up to help club teams get started and do some advertising.
Yeah, I'm sure, you know, your SGA will give you a little bit of a budget that you can work. You know, I mean, you just gotta, it's gonna take work, you know, but you can't be afraid of it. So on that note, you know, we've talked about westward expansion, you know, out of Michigan down and out of the west. Mm-hmm. Where's dodgeball headed next?
See, that's a good question, because I know we've got some teams in the South. Like, I know Northwestern State in Louisiana, headed by Mark Springer. And on a side note, their team is nothing but football players, apparently, which means they won't have much of a team in the fall when they start back up, get ready for that run to the line to maybe get a little intense there. So, I mean, we've definitely got some Southern expansion. We've seen it move out west. I mean, I guess we could go a little bit east, but I guess from here our choices are Canada or Mexico.
You know, I think that the eastern seaboard, New England, I think that if somebody can just ignite, because there's so many universities crammed in such a small area, you know, because those states are teeny tiny.
They are.
And, you know, it would, you know, especially in the eastern seaboard where, you know, those universities are so close together, it wouldn't be a challenge at all. But I think if somebody can get up there and maybe ignite a little bit of interest, you know, I think the Ivy League could be great dodgeball schools.
So maybe like an endorsement from Tom Brady, someone that can really sell. Because, I mean, you could take a dump in a piece of aluminum foil, wrap it up, and Tom Brady could sell it to anyone up there.
Except me, because I hate that snake bastard.
Well, you know, there's no accounting for taste. So
yeah.
But I was more referring to people up in
the
Northeast.
Those people wouldn't know good football if it kicked them in the teeth. But this is
dodgeball. So. And we don't want to start hate-mongering because we don't know who's going to listen. This is on iTunes. Tom Brady could get a hold of it.
If Tom Brady gets a hold of this, I'll fight him. Write that down.
Okay, so we have our first official Thunderdome challenge here. If we hear from Tom Brady, you know you have to fight him now, right?
That's perfectly acceptable.
Understood. I think the only place that we've really got left to go is the Eastern Seaboard. So, you know, we can go Northeast or Southeast, but from there, I think we'd pretty much have it covered. I think a Canadian league would have merit.
I think a Canadian dodgeball league would be scary because you look at the way Canadians play normal American sports. You know, they make a football field 20 yards longer and add a fifth down.
Canucks are intense, yes.
Good God knows what dodgeball would look like if they got a hold of it.
It could be scary.
So that wraps up the issues discussion. I feel like a weight is off my chest.
You know, I was just about to say the same thing. I've been thinking about these topics for literally years. Before I even knew college dodgeball existed, I was thinking, where would college dodgeball go other than Michigan?
You know, I mean, I've really only been thinking about these topics for like the last 45 minutes. Well, I'm not going to try to lie to the good people. You know, I sip the red wine of truth. And so, to be honest with you, it's, you know, it's just what we do. We're average Joes.
We are average Joes.
We'll be right back.
I think I'm about ready for Zach and Alex to send it on home. What do you think, Justin?
Justin Redman, ready in super sight.
Alrighty then.
Good. We're back like a bird on a rocket. This is the Average Joe's podcast. I'm just really doing this to make Alex laugh.
Oh, it is painful in this kitchen right now.
The blood squirting out the big giant heads of yours means we've reached the end of our hour.
All right, yes, when the big giant aneurysm shows up, it's time to wrap it up. So we're glad that everyone could be here for the maiden voyage of the new, and I would like to say, improved season of the NCAA
podcast. I wouldn't use all those
words. Well, I'm trying to be an optimist.
Yeah, well.
Because right now is when we get to sell the podcast to the good people.
Oh, the good
and
people.
And the best part is, it's free.
You know what's better than free?
What's better than free?
Nothing!
Nothing is better than free. So, the podcast is available on iTunes, new and improved. You'll be able to download the whole podcast in one fell swoop.
As opposed to two fell swoops,
as opposed
you have to download it in haste.
A pair of fell swoops, indeed. Also, you can listen and stream the podcast off the website. That's www.ncdadodgeball.com.
Sweet. Yeah. It's a sweet website.
It is a sweet
There's
website.
There's a chat. You can get on there and chat with your buddies or alone, because right now we're the only three people using it.
We are indeed. But it would be nice to get some input from people in the future. Also, feel free to send us emails at ncdadodgeball@gmail.com. And with this being the maiden voyage, if you've enjoyed it, feel free to get on to the NCDA message boards. We have our own channel now for the podcast. Tell us what you want to hear, what you want to see, since we've got video going.
It's for you.
It is for you.
Dear people.
We are here for you. So costumes, anything like that.
Yeah.
We want you to listen.
If you want a throwback night, you know, I got a Pistol Pete Maravich jersey that I'd get shot for wearing anywhere else but this podcast. And so, for you good people at home, I will pull it out.
I have a panda suit that hasn't seen the light of day for the better part of 5 years.
If you want to see the panda suit, then hit up the message boards. Let us know.
If I hear from at least five people, I will wear the panda suit. Even though it is hot as sin in this kitchen, I will wear the panda suit.
It is really hot in here.
It is hot.
So Alex, what are you doing tonight?
I think that tonight I'll be going back home and praying to God they don't shut my gas off, because the bill is late. The bill is late, and if the gas goes off, it's cold showers for Alex. Josh, can I stay at your place again? Josh is shaking his head no.
Okay, I think you should ask Mama Raymer if you can stay here.
Yeah, I'll talk to Mama
Raymer.
Since
Josh doesn't even have his own place, even though he's like 40.
So, once again, we appreciate
everyone
listening. I'm sorry, what?
I'm glad you don't care what I'm doing later.
I'm sorry, Zach. What are you doing later?
Well,
Look
at the watch here. It appears it's about beer 30.
It is beer 30.
I'm probably going to go watch the Little League World Series a little bit around 7. We're going to be at overtime. You're not going to hear this until well after that game, so I don't know why I'm telling you. If I would sign you an autograph if you asked me to.
Feel free to stop by if you want to, though.
But with that said, I'm Zach Newton.
And I'm Alex Heichelbeck.
Kick it over to the Ubster. Take us out, Broseph!
Take it, Ubster!
Thanks for listening to Average Joe's podcast. Be sure to check out more episodes of Average Joe's on iTunes or our website, ncdadodgeball.com. Until next time, just remember the 5 D's of dodgeball.
Dodge, duck, dip, dive, and dodge.
Bye-bye.